Last Sunday morning, we began a series of lessons on the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday morning's topic was, who is the Holy Spirit? And much of our lesson revolved around who He was in the Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We looked at His qualities, His characteristics, and it was kind of an introduction to who the Holy Spirit actually is. This morning and next Sunday morning, we're going to focus on the work of the Holy Spirit. What has the Holy Spirit doing today? So that's what our focus will be on. This morning, we're going to look at what the Holy Spirit has been doing or did do during the days of the Old Testament. We're also going to look this morning at what the Holy Spirit was doing when Christ was here on this earth. So that's going to be the theme of this morning's lesson. Just as I mentioned last week, you always, with any topic, but particularly the Holy Spirit, you want to enter the discussion, the study, cautiously, never straying from what the Bible says. So that's what we're going to focus on, is what does the Bible say the Holy Spirit has done in the past, during those days, during the law of Moses, prior to the time of Moses. What did He do during Jesus' ministry? So that's what we're going to focus on this morning, is what does the Bible say the Holy Spirit's work was during those days, during those times. And we know as long as we don't stray from the Bible that we're teaching the truth. And we're staying away from speculation. We're staying away from fantasy-type ideas or opinions. So that's why we want to look at just exactly what the Bible says. It's very interesting, in the second verse of the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit mentioned. I hope you brought your Bibles with you today, because that's mainly what we're going to be doing, is looking in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Of course, Genesis 1 and 2, chapters 1 and 2 talk about the creation of the world, creation of what went into the world, and the creation of man. But in the very beginning, we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, we are introduced to some of the work of the Holy Spirit. Notice what verse 2 says. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. There's the context of verse 2. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's a very interesting phrase in Hebrew. Hovering over. Has the idea of possibly energizing, that would be included in the word, moving over it, shaking it. What did He do? He started this creation process going. Here's the Spirit of God starting the process of creation going. Because we saw in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And of course, God, meaning the entire Godhead, the Trinity, they were all involved in the creation. And in particular, it says in verse 2 that it was the Spirit of God. That's often what the Holy Spirit is called throughout the Bible. The Holy Spirit was moving over it, energizing it, shaking it, getting the whole process started. H. Leo Bowles, many of you will recognize that name, had a great comment, I think, about this particular verse and what the Holy Spirit was doing. He said, the Holy Spirit's ministry was to organize matter and set in motion all of the functioning of the parts of the universe. And again, that goes back to the idea the Spirit of God was hovering over it, moving over it, starting the process going, energizing it. Because it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, so it was just there waiting for it to be started. And so the Holy Spirit, very actively involved in the creation of the world. We also see other verses that talk about the Holy Spirit being involved in the creation. couple of them are found in the book of Job. Please turn over there. Job, first one, Job 26. Job 26, and then we'll go to Job 33. Job had a lot of conversations in the book with his friends and with God. Here's one of those, Job 26, verse 13, talking about what God had done in the world. Job 26, verse 13. This whole chapter is about God and mentions God, but notice verse 13. By His Spirit, He adorned the heavens. By His Spirit, He adorned the heavens. The idea of adorn there means made heaven fair, made it beautiful, organized it, gave order to it. So something else the Holy Spirit was involved in during the creation of the world. Gave some order and beauty and adornment to the world. Made the heavens fair. He was also not just active in the creation of the world, the physical world. He was actively involved in the creation of man himself. Job 33, turn just a few pages over. Notice Job 33 and verse 4. One of the conversations again that Job has with these three men, and notice what one of them says, verse 4, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." And we're of course very familiar with the account in Genesis, aren't we? When it says God breathed into man the breath of life. This verse says, in particular, God the Spirit breathed into man the breath of life. See, the Holy Spirit was active. So often, when we listen to things in the world and hear people on radio and TV, we get the idea that the only thing the Holy Spirit did or has ever done has to do with miraculous gifts. And how wrong that is when we look at the Bible and let the Bible speak for itself. The Holy Spirit was involved in the creation of the world, hovering over it, energizing it, moving it, shaking it, getting it started, adorning the heavens, adorning the universe, giving it order and beauty, and with giving man the breath of life. "By the Spirit of God I have been made. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." The Holy Spirit has been working since the very beginning of this world. Sometimes we call it the very beginning of time, time for us. So look at all the Holy Spirit did during creation. Things we probably maybe don't think about very much, but He certainly was very actively involved in the creation of the world. He was also involved, kind of in the next major area, of inspiring and giving power to spokesmen of God during the days of old. Let's go all the way back, Genesis chapter 6. I'm sure most of us remember the account of Noah and the great flood of his day and all that was involved there. And the reason for that flood was the fact that the wickedness of man was so great that it said God was sorry He had made man. That's how wicked men had become. Of course, there was a fairly long period of time between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis 6. So during that period of time, man had become very, very wicked from the days of Adam and Eve. So wicked that God said, the only way this can be fixed is to send a flood and destroy all of these wicked men and essentially start over. That's what He said. And the men had become wicked because God gave them free choice, free will. They could choose right or wrong. They could choose to be wicked or they could choose to be righteous. God never forced any of those people that were created to choose what was right. He gave them freedom of choice. He gave them free will. And many of them, the majority of them, chose to do evil. That's the context, of course, of Genesis chapter 6. Notice verse 3 now. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, "My spirit, Spirit of God, shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." The rest of that chapter starts talking about men and what had gone on and how wicked they had become, and the thought, the intents of his heart was only evil, and God was sorry that he had made man. But it says, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever. His days shall be 120 years." What was he striving? What was the Spirit of God striving with man about? Well, what we had just mentioned. The choices he had made about good and evil. And so how did the Holy Spirit plead and strive with men for this 120 years? He found that there was a righteous man in the world, didn't he? His name was Noah. And so through Noah, the Spirit of God was striving with man, was pleading with man to change his ways. And through that preaching, the Bible calls, in the New Testament, calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. That's what Noah was preaching. But it was the Holy Spirit preaching through Noah, pleading, striving with man to change, to repent, to reform, change his lifestyle. Instead of being wicked all the time, choose righteousness. So he was striving with man through Noah. And he gave man over 100 years. That time, people, of course, were living a long, long time. Noah preached, and he preached, and he pleaded, and he was striving with man, change, repent. If you don't, God is going to send a flood that will cover the entire world. But it was the Holy Spirit doing this through Noah. God's Spirit was striving with man, pleading with man to do that. So there's another work of the Holy Spirit during those days. Was he was inspiring prophets, empowering prophets. And so many times it says he did that. We don't have time, of course, to look at all of them. And let's look at one in Nehemiah chapter 9. Much, much later, of course, Nehemiah. This is the context of the book of Nehemiah. God's people had been in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. They've come back, those who wanted to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Nehemiah, of course, and Ezra are two of the main ones with Zerubbabel to rebuild this city. And so in Nehemiah chapter 9, notice verse 20, first of all, and then we'll look at verse 30. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20. "You also gave your good spirit, this is talking about God's Spirit, if you look in the prior verses, that's the context. "You gave your good spirit to instruct them, and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst." Okay? You gave your good spirit to instruct them. How did this happen, though? Well, turn over to verse 30. It's the same context, same lesson, same circumstance. How did the good spirit instruct them? Notice verse 30. "Yet for many years you had patience with them, and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets. Yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands." How did God's good spirit instruct them? It says he did this through the prophets. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, God's good spirit was inspiring these prophets, telling the prophets what to say to the people. So the Holy Spirit didn't just inspire people in the first century. He inspired vast numbers of prophets and spokesmen during the days of the Old Testament as well. Just as He spoke through Noah, He also spoke through these other prophets. Let's move to the first century. Let's look at the life of Christ briefly and see what the Holy Spirit had to do with Christ's work and His ministry. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, all part of the Godhead, had a very close relationship. Let's read Matthew chapter 1, very first chapter in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. How did she conceive? Through the Holy Spirit. There was a work of the Holy Spirit right there in the conception of Jesus through Mary. During Christ's personal ministry, He and the Holy Spirit were the closest of companions. First chapter of John's account of the gospel, John chapter 1. Notice verse 32. John chapter 1. Verse 32. John chapter 1, verse 32. And John bore witness, talking about the Baptist, John the Baptist, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon Him. This wasn't a temporary thing, the Bible says. It says He, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, remained on Jesus. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus during His ministry, during His time. The Holy Spirit remained upon Him. The Bible says it was the Holy Spirit was with Jesus when He was performing miracles. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Notice this time verse 28. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus is talking to some people about casting out demons. Verse 27, Jesus is telling them, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. There we see that the Holy Spirit was with Jesus, with Christ, the Messiah, casting out demons when He was performing miracles. The Holy Spirit was working through Him. So there was an active part of the Holy Spirit's work was in performing miracles. That agency. The Bible says the Holy Spirit was with Jesus on the cross. Notice what the writer of Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. The Hebrew writer says this, verse 14. After saying, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from God from dead works to serve the living God. It says Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God. So he was in some way with Christ on the cross when he shed his blood, when he offered up his body on the cross. It says this was done through the eternal Spirit. The Holy Spirit was active during all of Christ's life, was with Christ. But that's not all. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. We find out something else very, very significant about the Holy Spirit's work. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Let's actually go back up to verse 9. This whole chapter talks a lot about this. Chapter 8, verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, note verse 11, talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. What does it say about Jesus being raised from the dead? It said it was the Spirit of God who did it. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. That's what the verse says. Raised Jesus from the dead. And just think about all that we've seen that the Bible explicitly says the Holy Spirit has done all the way from creation. He was actively involved in creation. The creation of the world. Adorning the heavens. Giving them order and beauty. Breathing into man the breath of life. Giving him a soul, giving him the beginning of mankind. The Holy Spirit was actively involved in that. The Holy Spirit was actively working through prophets and spokesmen throughout the Old Testament. We just mentioned a few, Noah and the prophets that Nehemiah talked about. There's just a few of them. He was actively involved in Christ's life throughout. It says it was through the Holy Spirit that Mary conceived. He was there at Jesus' baptism, saw the Spirit descend upon him and remained on him. He was there on the cross. He was there to raise Jesus from the dead. So the Holy Spirit has been actively involved in this world in many ways. Next Sunday, we're going to look at another very, very important work the Holy Spirit was involved in, and that was through the apostles. But I want us to think, in closing, about one work the Bible says the Holy Spirit still does. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, which will serve as an invitation for us today. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read verses 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members," talking about our body, "but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. It says, 'For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit.'" What an important work. When we're born again, when the penitent believer is born again, when he's immersed in water, comes out of the water, he's a new creature, that happens through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actively involved in that. Our faith is based upon God's Word, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit. We respond to the Spirit by responding to the Word. So when the Word tells us we must have faith in Christ as a risen Savior, we must repent, make that inward change which results in an outward change. That's the Holy Spirit telling us through His Word. When the Holy Spirit tells us we must confess Him before men, confess God before men, confess Christ before men, we do that and we're following the teachings of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit informs us that we have our sins washed away in baptism, then we're responding to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is involved in us being born again. I encourage you, if you want to experience that new birth, to do so as we come and